Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are within 100 days of the start of the NFL season. I know we got a lot of questions that are out there. I know we're in a different time. And I know that we are going to wonder, until we get to kickoff of the NFL season, what exactly is it going to look like? But let's put that aside for a second and realize that there are so many things in this NFL year to wonder about and look forward to on the field, like we would if it was no pandemic, if we were going through a normal season, if everything was running on time. We would be asking a lot of great questions about the year. How will Tom Brady look in Tampa, etc.? But we are in a pandemic, and we are in a different kind of sports culture now. Yesterday, the NFL told all of their teams, you cannot go on location to training camp. So there'll be no more trips to Greenbrier in West Virginia. And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys, you can't even practice in Oxnard, California. You're going to have to work out at the Star. Some other, you know, it only affected about 10 teams. But that is one of the things. Some of these teams have had long traditions of going to universities. The Steelers work out at Latrobe. As I mentioned, Dallas goes to Oxnard, California. The Carolina Panthers work out at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina. But now they have to work out at their facilities. When I was covering the Denver Broncos, when I first got to Denver, they would go to Northern Colorado. In Greeley. It was just like a campus environment. The guys would stay in the dormitories and they'd work out at the place. You know, it was like a sort of this old school football way of doing things. And then, you know, more facilities were being built by the teams, more elaborate practice facilities. So more and more of them decided not to do that. The Patriots used to be at, I think, Smith College in Rhode Island back in the day. But now most of them are staying home anyway. But about 10 teams in the NFL still do this. But one other takeaway from this new memo was no joint practices. So, you know, like the Titans and the Patriots would get together because it'd be like on friendly terms. No, you're not going to do that this year. But nevertheless, we are within the 100-day window of the NFL. So what do we look forward to? What are some of the issues in the NFL this year and some of the storylines in the NFL this year that we are looking forward to? We'll get to that next. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, like we were saying at the top of the hour, we are within 100 days of the start of the NFL season. And listen, I know, again, we're wondering what it's going to look like, right? When the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Houston Texans to kick off the season, will it be on the date it's scheduled on September, 10th? Oh, will it be pushed up? You know, will it be like, oh, it's going to have to be in October? Will the stands be empty? Will there be 25% of the capacity, 50% of the capacity? What will it be like in September? But nevertheless, all of those issues are going to be answered over time. What we're going to look at today are some of the storylines for the NFL throughout the show this morning that we are looking forward to seeing play out, to see what it will, you know, to say, look, I'm looking forward to the season because of X. I'm looking forward to the season because of Y. Or maybe I'm not so excited about this thing that's going to happen, but still I want to see it play out. Obviously, Tom Brady in Tampa is probably the top NFL storyline, right? We've seen the dynasty of the Patriots for 20 plus years, and now Tom Brady is going to play for the Buccaneers with Rob Gronkowski and Bruce Arians. And what is that going to be like for him there, to be under a different coach, to be under maybe a happier place? But does that mean he's going to win? Does that mean the Buccaneers are now going to be a playoff contending team? Right. Obviously, that's the big, you know, the big question, especially in the NFC South, where you have the New Orleans Saints still. So again, one aspect of that does, you know, that leads into other storylines of the NFL, including Philip Rivers in Indianapolis, which is one of those. Look, obviously, my focus would be when it comes to quarterback changes would be on Tom Brady. But let's not overlook Philip Rivers in Indianapolis. I mean, the Colts were a team with, when Andrew Luck announced his retirement just before the start of last year, you know, people were looking at the Colts saying, oh, they found this right. And things look like things were looking up. And Jacoby Brissett was just not able to kind of push the Colts to the finish line of a division that was wide open. Now you have Philip Rivers, who again is, again, like Tom Brady, looking for a new place, looking for a revitalization of a career late in his career. And he's teaming up with Frank Reich, who he's worked with before. So again, I love this upcoming season because there are, you can go through the huge list of changes, which, again, happens all the time. But look, we've got DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona now. Like, Brady in Tampa, Philip Rivers in Indianapolis. But DeAndre Hopkins is going to be catching passes from Kyler Murray. And Larry Fitzgerald is still there. Here is a division where there's Seattle, maybe a bounce back for the Rams, and of course the NFC defending champion San Francisco 49ers. But now here's Arizona, get kicked around a little bit. And now they may not get kicked around as much as in Cliff Kingsbury's second season. So you keep that, these are the changes. Now what about some of the staples for the upcoming seasons? What about the things that are going to be consistent? Well, Lamar Jackson coming off an MVP season in Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes coming off a Super Bowl championship. Right, I think this is one of the more exciting seasons coming up, pandemic or no pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, but you have the Raiders in Las Vegas. So a new fan base, if you will, a new local fan base in the NFL. And then you have a new stadium in Los Angeles. It's been so overhyped. It's incredible. I expect this thing to be space age as ever.
Yeah, I think it's going to float.
Right,
at
it
some
should
point.
Float. Right,
it should
exactly.
float. It should hover above L.A. And that way, you know, that would be a good thing. It doesn't have to stay in Inglewood. It can kind of just cruise around all of L.A. So all of L.A. gets to appreciate the stadium.
Yeah, very much so. Right.
No, you know, if I look at it from a fantasy football perspective, I'm really curious about Kyler Murray.
Sure, me too.
Just with two. Well, one definite Hall of Famer, another potential Hall of Famer. I think he's going to have a great season.
Yeah, I do too. I think Arizona is going to be a real threat. I mean, just a team that will maybe not. I put that word threat in terms of you've got these teams that are like in that division, all going to be vying for the division. I don't know if Arizona wins it. I mean, very high, but again, when you were counting on that team of the division, sort of all right, everybody always had the Bengals in the NFC North, and you know, it was like the Jets or the Bills when they were down, and the Dolphins in the AFC East all those years with the Patriots. This is not, I don't feel like this is the case. I feel like Arizona is, they're going to play you tough. They're going to be good. You're not going to have an easy game within that division, no matter who you are, because Arizona is going to kick it up a notch enough to make all four of those teams good. And I know one team has to be sort of the also-ran. Maybe it stays Arizona, but when I say also ran, I mean, I still think they're going to get their share of victories.
No, I think it's the toughest division in all of football.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just behind it. I would almost want to say the NFC South. The Panthers are that wild card. You're just like, I really don't know about you guys.
Yeah, what if the Panthers click together? Like, what if Matt Rhule instantly becomes like, wow, this guy really can, he's at this level.
Yeah,
Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, like, all of it's working. Everything that they're trying to change. To me, too many changes, I feel like it needs to stew a little bit.
Yeah.
But what if it's,
can we say Teddy Bridgewater hasn't lost a game in like 3 years?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, statistically, that would be the case. But, you know, Joe Brady's over there as well. I mean, listen, they haven't had a chance to work out yet. They haven't had a chance to really, you know, settle in and do things yet. But if it clicks immediately, I mean, I'd be blown away if they did.
You know, that's also under the assumption that Brady clicks with Bruce Arians and the other Buccaneers. I mean, it's great that they got Gronk because Brady and Gronk know each other. But, you know, we don't know. I mean, we know Brady's holding illegal practices, you know, but are the wide receivers attending?
What is realistic for What is realistic for Brady? I mean, like for that Buccaneers team. I mean, look. I mean, they were 7-9 last season. I mean, anything less than 10 wins, would it be a disappointment? If I'm a Buccaneers fan, what exactly am I looking for here? Like it's easy to go Super Bowl, but realistically, I always say this about NFL fans, right? I mean, look, in Major League Baseball, you know when your team has it and it doesn't, right? You know if you're a small market team and you're rebuilding, you know going, you know, hey, listen, I'm just going to enjoy baseball for baseball's sake. You can make the same case in the NBA, right? You just know based on where the superstars are in that league whether your team can win a championship or not. You know, the NFL does a good job of saying, look, our champion can come from anywhere at any time. We've seen it happen a number of times. We've seen teams go to the Super Bowl that you never thought had any business being in, even in the playoffs at the start of the season. It's that kind of league where wins can come from any place. And some teams build up and some teams get to a point where they're like, yeah, we're coming off a 12-win season and we're really excited. We were one win away from going to the Super Bowl, and then things fall apart and they're 7-9. But NFL fans are realistic, right? They can go, look, I would take 10 wins and just be happy and see what happens. I always ask people, what is your realistic expectation for your team? What would you really be happy with? If you're a Giants fan, would 8-8 make you thrilled, right? If you're a Jets fan, would, you know, being competitive late in the season, would that just make you happy? Like, what's the minimum? What is the Buccaneers level right now? Would 9 wins be like, no, that's not what we thought? 10? Would you have to get 10 if you're Tom Brady?
Well, they had like 5 last year.
I thought they were 7-9.
Were they 7-9?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, if you go above 500, that should be what expected, right?
I don't.
It just seems so far-fetched to go, okay, hey, new team, you know, Brady, you're automatic for 10 wins.
Yeah, it's, if you're, here's the problem, though. If you're a Buccaneers fan, you get Tom Brady, you
can't think Super Bowl.
You can't, yeah, but at the same time, you know you're only getting him for a couple of years, right? Father Time is really ticking.
Yeah.
And so it could be
this season. We don't know yet.
Would you just be thrilled if he just came and was like, well, we were competitive, like the games were interesting, but if he doesn't propel you above what Jameis Winston was doing for you, You're gonna come away from it going, eh, it's Johnny Unitas in a Rams uniform or Chargers uniform, right? Eh, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So if I was a Buccaneers fan, I would say, well, no, I got to have at least 10 wins and a shot at the postseason. Super Bowl, no, but I mean, I got to at least have a shot at the playoffs. And maybe in year two, it's a little better. I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult question because you don't know exactly what you're getting into, you know, with the Patriots. Didn't we always look at the Patriots at least for the last 5 or 6 years? Didn't we always look at the Patriots and say, oh yeah, they have Bill Belichick and then Tom Brady, of course. And we always kind of left them as afterthoughts. Oh yeah, those are two greatest of all time individuals, but they're also got this and they've also got defense and they've also got, you know. There was always added things to the Patriots that you would say, they're not just Brady, Belichick, and a bunch of nobodies. There's Brady, Belichick, and, you know, Stephon Gilmore, for example, is one of the best corners in the game, right? An added bonus of having with the Patriots was having all these other players that were really, really good. The Buccaneers have a couple of those guys, but they're not loaded with those guys. And I have no idea what Bruce Arians and his coaching staff will do with Brady and Gronk and the other weapons that are still with the Buccaneers organization. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to be greedy if I was a Buccaneers fan, but I'd go, yeah, we better have about 10 wins at the end of the year.
Yeah, but it is. I just don't. It's so hard for you to say, hey, you know, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to happen. You know, if you're a Buccaneers fan, I can't picture Buccaneer fan going, here's my expectation. Maybe the expectation is to make the playoffs.
Well, hold on. Let's go back for a second though. The Buccaneers are not a 4-12 football team. They're not an abysmal, awful,
no. They're
bottom of the barrel, and here comes Tom Brady football team. We you know, Pat Donovan said it best. They were a few stupid interceptions away from making a run towards the playoffs.
Oh,
so this is a talented team that, you know, was failed by their quarterback throwing 30 interceptions, and a couple of them were returned for touchdowns. So I wouldn't be ashamed if I was a Buccaneers fan to say, I think we would squeeze out more wins with a guy who doesn't turn the ball over 30 times. Who had, what, six? six interceptions? Whatever it was. Like, you know, if I'm thinking that my team could have been hovering around 10 wins with a guy who threw too many interceptions, what's my expectation of a guy who's not throwing interceptions?
No, that's right. I mean, that is true because, I mean, how many games did Jameis cause them?
Right.
Cause them to lose.
We're not thinking Joe Burrow is going to win 10 games with the Bengals.
No.
We still think there's going to be some work.
It's hard. I get, maybe it's just because of the way I think of the Buccaneers. Like, even their Super Bowl win still seems like an anomaly to me.
Oh, yeah. They haven't made the playoffs since 2007.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe it's just make the playoffs be relevant.
I always say, like,
I was going to say be talked about, but not in a joking matter or, you know, like, oh, my God, they're pathetic.
What about at the end of the season, you're like, you have a legitimate chance of making the playoffs? Not one of those, hey, here's 25 steps it would take for you to make the playoffs, you know. It's December, it's late, we're going into week 15, and there's a legitimate shot of making the postseason.
Well, the end of the season for us last year with the Buccaneers, what was it? It was all about, you know, Jameis Winston making the 30-30 club.
Yeah, right.
That's what we were focused on with the Buccaneers. It had nothing to do with anything else that they were doing.
Nope.
It was just, oh, God, man, how great would it be if Winston could be the only member of the 30-30 club?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, your two wild card teams last year, I mean, Minnesota had 10 wins. I mean, Seattle had 11. So it's like,
and you get an extra one.
Yeah, and you get an extra one, right. So you get an extra team. So, you
Which
know,
I
yeah.
think all of them are going to be taken up by the NFC West, though.
Well, that's right.
That's the
so
problem.
With the extra team, you should at least be in the conversation by week 15 or 16 if you're Tampa Bay. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad you could be with us. It was Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I took the kids, yes, remember when I told you yesterday I took my kids to lunch? We went to Culver's and had a Butterburger. Before I did that, I took my car in for the car wash. Remember I told you how disgusting my car was? I said, I gotta go take it in for a car wash. So I said, kids, we're going to the car wash and we're gonna vacuum this thing and we're gonna clean this out because this is gross. It's quarantine disgusting.
Yeah, I need to do that to mine. You want to take mine?
Yeah, so, well, it's been a while, and the reason I've avoided it is because you couldn't use the vacuum cleaners at the car wash. They wouldn't let you use them. So they finally opened up and said, yeah, you can use the vacuum cleaners now. So I'm like, okay. So I get to the car wash, and there's a touch screen, and there's a kid standing out there, and he goes, hey, I'll help you here. And I go, okay, great. He goes, what car wash do you want? And I'm looking at the price. And my daughter goes, get the Lucky Duck. And the Lucky Duck is the most expensive car wash they have. And I said, yeah, all right, I will. I don't normally do. I usually get the cheap one, just run some water on it. I go, you know what? It's been a while. It's my car. Treating her right today. I don't know what all that stuff is, the little symbols, like you're getting Lava Guard and whatever, Turtle Wax, or I don't know what it is. So he goes, okay, I'll get you the Lucky Duck. And he goes, would you like for just $5 more to get this Echo Sheen something, right? I don't even know what these are. It's just for $5 more. And I go, no problem. Yeah, do that. I'm having fun. I'm like, I'm a little bit over exuberant by going to the car wash. Guy puts my card in, takes out, gives me my card, my receipt. I look at the receipt, $25 to run my car through the car wash. I was flabbergasted. I thought to myself, I just spent $25 on, I don't even know if any of those things actually occurred with my car. I think I just got ripped off. I'm not 100% sure I did, but I'm like, there's no way, right, that I got all of those awesome features when I went through in neutral without stopping. For $25, don't you think the kids should come out and hand wash my car? Apply that stuff on with the, you know, like Mr. Miyagi teaching karate?
Yeah.
Like for $25.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through there in less than 5 minutes. Seriously, for $25, it should have been like an old 1950s Texaco commercial. There should have been seven people swarming my car, each with like a buffer and a thing of wax and some towels. And, you know, he just got the big one. He just spent $25. Let's go out there and give him the old Texaco shine. Like that kind of service. I was like, wait a minute. Now, I'm old enough to remember the good old days when you used to pull into a gas station, pump up your car, fill up your car with gas, and at the end it'll be like, do you want a car wash for $4? And you're like, yeah, $4. I'll just run. Sure. And then you get a code, and you go right over to the small little car wash area, put in the code, run your car through real quick. I mean, I'm old enough to remember those days. When did car washes become $25? I mean, is that a normal thing?
You know, I mean,
live in a little small town. I mean, I'm at Beverly Hills for crying out loud.
I have seen that as well, where it's $20, $25. I can't do it.
Oh.
I can't pull the trigger on it. I've wanted to, just to see what the difference would be. But there's a lot of times where I get my car washed, I gotta go over it anyways.
Right. I mean,
I gotta go back in. I'm like, you kind of missed this spot. What did I just pay for?
Exactly. My daughter had to take a towel and she was wiping down all the water spots. She was like drying up the water spots. I go, $25. Where's the crew comes to do this? And I told both of them. I said, by the way, there's no. I only got this $25. I was like, I was a little happy, kind of excited to be here, yeah, showing off a little bit.
And now you're like, looking at them and it's like, I could have. What else could I have gotten for $25?
I know. Exactly.
I could have got a $10 wash.
I could have gotten another Butter Burger.
That's
right. After that.
There you go.
But man, and then I pulled into one of those little vacuum stalls, and the vacuum cleaner that we had that was assigned to our car was awful. It didn't pick up anything. Must have been stuck or something.
Dude, you're giving a rave review of this place.
I know, and I know.
Oh, there's people in Nashville just lining up right now to get to this.
I will tell you this. There's a brand new car wash. We have three in our town. Three of these kind of car washes. And I was a little disappointed that I didn't go to the brand new one, the real fancy one that just opened up, that everybody's buzzing about.
Yeah.
I went to the old standby. I went to the old staple that's been around since day one, since I moved here. But very disappointed. $25. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's...
You know what?
It seems excessive.
It is. It's one of those... I feel like there was some people in a corporate boardroom that went, would people pay $25 to get their car washed? Would they really pay that amount of money? And somebody went, you know how you get $25 for a car wash? How? You charge $25 for a car wash. You make them think that there's got to be something amazing about that car wash if they're paying $25 for it. That, you know what I mean? You know how sometimes you go to a place and you're like, it's got to be good. It's expensive. I don't know if it's good or not, but look, they're selling chopped steak for $32. That's got to be gold. That's the way I thought.
For $25, there should be a little genie that just pops up.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, like you spill a drop from your drink. Like, I don't know. I got it, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I remember like, and this is not even one of those places. There used to be some places I've gone to where you don't even do anything. You just hand the keys, like your car, to some attendants. And they vacuum it for you. And they wash it down. And they dry the car. They clean the windows. They send it through. And then they wave. They do that wave thing. And they're like, you're good. They wave the top. And you're like, and you're in a waiting room. And you're like, thanks. And you tip the guy some money. And your car's beautiful. That cost less than $25 back when I remember it. That's nuts. All right, more NFL, things we're looking forward to. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. What are you looking forward to for the NFL season coming up?
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Michael on Twitter, I take my wife's car to a hand car wash down the street. They wash the exterior and detail the interior for $28, plus I give them a $10 tip, but the car looks and smells brand new. Yeah, exactly. I did all the work. I did all the hard work myself, and I paid $25.
Well, you got to go to where he goes.
It's not easy vacuuming a vehicle.
You think Michael opts for the Brazilian wax on his car?
Good point. Very nice. Yeah, me and my kids spent a good 20 minutes vacuuming that car. Maybe longer. Getting all the nooks and crannies of cleaning out a pile.
Yeah,
of
but
dirt.
You know what? There's something satisfying when you got a good vacuum going.
No, it is, man. That is so true. And you know what? It is when that car is clean. I mean, when it is clean and it is, you're like, this is great. And you know what? You know what? You always go
when it's clean. It reminds you why you got it.
Yeah, right. Like the mats are all nice. I smacked them out of the dirt and cleaned it. They look nice. I put back the way they're supposed to be instead of all crooked because I've been moving my feet too much. And then here's the thing: I say the same thing every time I get my car washed, and it looks amazing. I go, "Well, I'm going to keep it this way until my first fast food stop." And I'm chucking the bag of trash in the back seat, or I drop a couple of fries in the cracks of the car. But no, I always go, oh, this, why can't I just keep it this way? It looks beautiful. But in a week, it'll need it again. Because that's what it is. All right, we've been talking about the start of the NFL season. We are within 100 days of that, right? And I know it's kind of hard because we've been having such a trouble with all of these sports being shut down. And it's hard to look forward to something you're so uncertain about. But the NFL has got so many things on its plate to look forward to. But before we get to some others, let me just say, give you the latest on one other sport that is coming back, the NBA, because on Thursday they're going to be voting on what they're going to look like when they go to Florida, when they go to this Disney complex. 22 teams, 30 teams, regular season, no regular season, what the playoff format's going to look like. But here's what they there's kind of threw out yesterday. They're targeting October 12th as an end date for the finals. So they're going to they want to start July 31st, go through August, September, and then like 2 weeks into October, and then wrap it up. Now, one of the things I said during the early part of the pandemic, when things were shutting down and things got moved to the fall, I said we're going to have a period of nothing, then we're going to get into a period of everything, where it's going to be too much. You're going to have so many, like every weekend, you're going to have five or six things to watch on your typical September Saturday or October Saturday. And now it looks like you're going to get NBA playoffs on top of NFL, college football, what Major League Baseball is going to be doing, right? The Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, the Masters, the U.S. Open, right? I mean, tennis tournaments, I guess, that have gotten rescheduled at that time. What else has been rescheduled? Major League Soccer might be still kicking around, you know, closing out their season. So if that's true, if the NBA is going to extend its season into October, right, that we're going to be crowning an NBA champion in that month with all of the other sports, we're going to be swimming in news every day. I mean, it's going to be too much. We're going to be able to get it all. There'll be so many things going on at the same time. All right, and that's the thing we get on the other end of getting nothing every single day. So there's that. But it could be a very busy fall. So now I got my fingers crossed there's no second wave to this virus. Which, by the way, have you noticed because of the protests that are going on, the virus has gotten a back page news now?
What virus?
What virus is right?
I thought it was all cured.
That I can, you know what? That is the one aspect of this that I don't understand. If the media lectures everybody about, look, you can't even be with your wife outside. And then all of a sudden it's like, here are the protests. You're like, well, nobody's saying anything about that either. You can still say it's cool to protest.
Nobody's saying anything about social distancing.
But no, there's been no social distancing commentary about the protests going on in cities across America. Right?
Peaceful or the riot.
Maybe they because they don't want to muddle the message, right? They don't want to.
Now everyone is wearing masks, so you got that going.
Message. This is an important, this important protest. We don't want to ruin it by reminding people that they're probably spreading the virus. Or maybe they're like, yeah, and just like that, it was gone. The virus.
I'm telling you, man. I've been telling people this all day yesterday. That Sylvia Brown thing.
Sylvia Brown.
Did I tell you about that? She was a.
Is she the psychic?
She's the psychic who wrote a book back in 2008 that predicted. In her book, she had predicted the problem is like around 2020, in around 2020. We can't specifically lay down 2020, but she puts down 2020. She wrote down that there's a pneumonia-like flu that'll wreak havoc on the planet.
But then
she said, but more baffling was as quickly as it appeared, it disappears.
Oh, okay.
Only to resurface again 10 years later, and then it'll be gone for good.
So 2030, it'll show up again?
2030.
Did I miss something in 2010? And this is the return of it.
Well, because she said this in 2008.
Oh, that's right. So she said it in 2008. In 2020, there would be this pandemic.
Yeah.
But then it would disappear. It would come back in 10 years, and then it would be gone for good.
Gone for good.
Gone for good. All right.
Gone the way of the dodo bird.
Gotcha. Okay. She like Nostradamus, where like Nostradamus was like, I'll make good predictions, but I'll hide it in code. Nobody will believe. It'll all be like after the fact.
Probably. It's probably similar like that.
Like those Nostradamus people who are big on, they're like, he clearly was talking about Mussolini here. And I'm like, where does he talk about Mussolini?
The only thing that, gets me on it where I'm like, oh, I'm a believer, Sylvia Brown, is the fact that, she said 2020 and pneumonia-like flu.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of, because remember at the beginning, everyone was like, it's kind of like pneumonia, but it's not pneumonia.
Yeah. Is it, I guess that's a cool prediction, but I mean. Is it really?
I'm just telling
is it really
you, no.
going on a limb?
The only thing I'm saying is that, man, it showed up quickly, and now we're not talking about it anymore.
How come psychics never say 2021, a guy by the name of Bob Smith is going to be president of the United States, and he's from California, and he grew up in like why don't they ever get like down to like this is it's always like some no, I see a guy the, with blonde hair, maybe brown. Maybe 6 foot tall, maybe 6'2", maybe 5'10".
I need you to put it on the Wayback Machine, but do you remember Ghostbusters 2?
I barely remember it. I saw it, but it's one of those movies I never revisit.
The opening scene has Bill Murray holding his psychic show on cable network that's being beaten out by Bassmaster Fishing. But he has his cable network, and he has on two psychics who are predicting the end of the earth. And but they gave specific dates. That's what we need. We want a specific date. Yeah.
You know what? There was about 10 years ago, there was like a cult in Kentucky or something where there was a guy who said, this is the end. This is the date. The end of the world is going to be on this date. Right. And all of his followers got together and the date came and went and everybody made fun of him. But I was on the radio at the time in Denver and I was the one going, at least he had a date.
Yes.
Like you can make fun of him and yeah, we can all laugh like, ha ha, you got it wrong. But he went out there and he put himself out there and he said, it's October 10th. Yeah. It's not like sometime in the next fortnight, millennial 10 year period. Like he just went, no, it's October, whatever. And like,
and do we
it
give
came
him
and
a,
went, he was like, eh, well,
do we give
do
him a plus
me?
Or minus 1 to 3 days leadway?
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
If the end of the earth came and it was October 12th,
exactly.
You were close.
He took all the, apocalyptic clues he could and he came up with a date. And he said, this is it. This is when it's happening. And it didn't happen, but he took a shot. What do you want? He didn't.
You
he
can't
didn't
hate
it, huh?
You just
you
can't hate that.
I couldn't hate it. I said, you know what? You know what? He put himself out there, man. He was willing to make a prediction. He just, you know, he didn't dance around it and make it so vague that it's like, oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So, all right, back to our NFL football, not predictions, but things we're looking
forward
to.
Yeah, we should make predictions.
We should make predictions. Why not? Why not?
In and around the 2020 season, Tom Brady will have.
Yeah. One of the things I'm looking forward to in 2020 for this season is, and I say this as a Nashville resident, but not a Titans fan. Were the Titans for real last year? Or are we going to be back to?
Yeah. Or are they Jacksonville?
Right. Are they? Yeah, exactly. Because I got friends, you know, who love the Titans. Season ticket holders love the Titans. And they all are excited because they came off a AFC championship appearance. And I go, this is the NFL, man. Next year you could be 5-11 and want to know what the hell happened. Like there is no sometimes you just catch lightning in a bottle at the right time and things work out for you, but then you go into the next season and you're like, yeah, that wasn't what we thought it was going to be. Like Ryan Tannehill was like, he came in and played great. I mean, I can't begin to stress how great he played in managing the offense. He wasn't like lighting up everything, but he kept the turnovers to a minimum, and he ran the offense great, handed the ball off to Derrick Henry, and they ran the ball fantastic. They were third in the league in rushing and all of that stuff. But he made the right plays when you want him to make the right plays. Is that the new thing now? Is that the thing that when I think of the Titans, I go, well, now they really have their quarterback, because in mop-up duty, he played well enough that they started winning games, found their groove, found their rhythm, and now they're a threat. I don't know if they're a threat or not. I really don't. In a division that has Houston still, even though without DeAndre Hopkins, still has Deshaun Watson, and now Phillip Rivers is with the Indianapolis Colts, I don't look at the Titans as some sort of, oh, well, they now clearly own the AFC South because of their run last year. I mean, they were 9-7, but don't forget they were like 7-2 to close out the season, right? Like, I'm not necessarily buying that yet, but I am curious to see exactly what that's going to look like. Right, that was one of the fun aspects of the playoffs, was watching the Titans again locally get into the playoffs, you know, squeak in, and then pulled off two huge road upsets, beating the Patriots and the Ravens.
Yeah, now I don't know if they have that in them again.
I don't think so either.
But I think they're the team to beat
in the division?
AFC. Yeah, in the AFC South. Phillip Rivers with the Colts, it's going to be a whole new look. I mean, it's funny because we're all going to be focused on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, what he can do. I mean, Phillip Rivers is potentially a Hall of Fame quarterback. We don't know. I mean, he doesn't have unfortunately, he doesn't have the Super Bowl
right,
you know, ring to go with it, or even an appearance to go with it. But I mean, he could definitely make some noise. Jacksonville isn't going to do anything.
Nope.
And I don't think the Texans are going to do anything.
Well, Jacksonville, they don't want to do anything. Like, got rid of players, right? Players want out.
Chad Kahn was like, man, if it wasn't COVID, we'd already be in London.
We'd already be in London, yeah.
No, we can't go.
No, we have to stay here.
Another
year. London game got canceled. Oh, boy.
It's like, oh, boy. Chad Kahn feels like he just reluctantly signed a new lease.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, exactly, right?
Just like, the terms are right, I guess so.
This is like when you have to go crawling back to your ex-wife because the office fling didn't really quite work out.
Yeah.
And you're like bringing your suitcase back, apologizing. I left you for a younger woman, but that didn't work out. Can I come back home? Like, he's like, oh, yeah. Don't you worry, people in Jacksonville. People in London love us. We're going to London.
Came in and was like, my mistress was cheating on me.
Right, right. Then the NFL goes, yeah, about that London game. He's like, oh, mean, I have to go back and try to sell tickets to games that were taken off the schedule? Oh, you mean the Jacksonville fans had gotten used to not going, and now I have to convince them to go? With a team where every single player seems to want to scream, bloody murder that they want out of this town and out of this organization? Oh, great. Have fun with that. Shad Khan. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, continuing more on our look at the NFL season less than 100 days away on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Again, NFL less than 100 days away. All right, Ron, what is more likely? Cam Newton is on a roster in some capacity in week one, or he is signed as a quarterback by week three or four as a, oh, wow, we need a quarterback, and it just so happens Cam Newton's available. Let's go grab him.
Yeah, no, the last.
The last one?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. I think is happening. I think he ends up just, he starts the year with no team, and then by week three, some team is going, yeah, by the way, can you come here and please play quarterback for us?
Because the problem is he can't work out for anybody.
Right.
So no one can see what he can actually do. He doesn't really have good tape from last year.
That's right. And I think that's, you know, I don't think there's.
Because that's the big difference between, say, him and Teddy Bridgewater, where Teddy Bridgewater, he had enough tape, enough film on him last year that it was like, okay, we know what we're getting. You don't really know what you're getting with Cam right now.
Right. And Cam, for, you know, like we talked about with, you know, the situation with Joe Flacco meeting, you know, Flacco was willing to be a backup, less money. Cam, I think, and his people are still kind of, you don't know if there's been some interest in him. And they said, look, we really want to play our cards here, see what starter availability is. But by week two or three, if he's got nowhere to go, he just waits it out and somebody's getting hurt and then he needs a landing spot.
I have no doubt in my mind that if Cam Newton said, hey, you know what, for this upcoming season, I'll play for $1 million, I'll play for two,
right,
that he wouldn't be signed immediately.
Oh, yeah, somebody would have taken a chance. Somebody would have said, injury, no injury, I don't care. Come
yeah,
on board.
It's worth it.
Come on board. We'll grab you. Because if you say you're healthy and you're right, then this is a deal. And if you're not, well, we've thrown better money away for worse causes. It's Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.